Oh, hi, and welcome to And Just Like What? Sex and the City Rewind Podcast.
Where Sex and the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today, not our families.
No, it was the show.
Not raised our education.
Us, this nurtured show. Us.
This
fed us.
Show, Sex and the City. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts.
Welcome. So I'm finding this stretch of season three tough, y'all.
Season three has the highs and the lows.
Oh my gosh. It is.
This one.
Boo. So.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, did this meet you where you were in your week? Like, I mean, we're. January in Canada is giving us the highs and the lows, literally. So maybe it's just so appropriate.
You're right. Maybe that's the metaphor.
Maybe that's the metaphor we need.
So by lows, we mean, I don't know what this is in Fahrenheit, because Fahrenheit 40. Below zero.
Negative 40 Fahrenheit is negative 40 same? Celsius. That's where it intersects.
Okay. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. In some parts of where we live, it was colder than that. It was like minus 45 Celsius.
And we talk about wind chill a lot here. So if it's windy in that weather, it's extra dangerous. So it can get down to like minus 56.
It's unreal. Like you couldn't even stand outside.
Wild. It was wild. And but what? No better time to nest. How are you doing, Meredith? I think we've really checked in much over the past 2 weeks. We were kind
You're
of busy.
Right. We haven't really talked to each other like friends.
We haven't hung out for 4 or 5 years now, so.
That's not true. I was at your house and we had cookies.
That was really nice. We did a photo shoot of me worshiping your feet.
Yeah, but that was, and then I came again and brought you soup.
Oh, and that was so nice, Meredith. Yeah. Thank you so much. We have to do it again. I want to activate more cocktails.
More activations.
More and maybe activations.
We'll take our phones with us and be like, Instagram. No, we totally wouldn't do that.
we promise that, but we don't do it. Yeah. How's everything going? You're going on vacation soon.
I'm going on vacation. I'm going skiing. So our skiing is the best in the world.
It is. And we have not but one, but two, but three, but many, 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 many big options in driving distance to Calgary. So
yeah, it's
and
the best.
Within the city. You can even go skiing in Calgary. It's
yeah, you can
great.
Ski in the city. There's like high school students who will go on their lunch break and go ski because we have a hill in the city. But we're actually going to BC. So sorry, Alberta. Alberta skiing is amazing, but we're going to BC to go skiing.
BC is fab. Fab skiing.
BC is fab. And there's a lot of powder. It's different. It's different skiing. Mm-hmm. The trees look like Dr. Seuss trees.
Yes.
Like they get caked in snow and they kind of droop over. They look like they have personality.
Are you going somewhere with like a nice like village, you know, like a ski and ski out? Okay, that is just the most fun. Yeah.
We're staying on the hill. So it's very, very luxurious. It's very luxurious. I'm getting ready to book some stuff and my eyeballs are kind of like, bong, 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 bong.
Oh,
with, like,
I know. You just have to go.
Signs.
You just have to kind of go with it. Hey.
Yeah. It's
worth it's your vacation.
It's vacation. So
are you
going to
do like fondue or something?
We're going to go.
What do you guys like?
We're going to go for dinner two nights. We're going with our fam. So it's going to be kind of a mix of stuff. I'm sure we'll have chicken and, you know, like kid friendly.
Yeah.
It's really about the hot tub and the night skiing.
Oh. When they turn on the floodlights. I love it. I think that's so fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. So we're getting ready to do that. What about you?
Me? It was my birthday
a
little while
ago.
And let me tell you, I'm not a big birthday person. You know, there's like birthday month people. They're like, it's my birthday month. And they're like, list off a million things that they do in that month. I'm deflect, deflect, deflect. I don't want anyone. I took it off Facebook. I don't want anyone to say happy birthday.
I did that too. I took it off Facebook too. It makes me really uncomfortable when people I don't know say happy birthday to me.
I know. And then since I took it off Facebook, I'm like, oh, okay, not many people have this in their calendar.
Oh my gosh, me. I know your birthday is in January.
Oh gosh, no, I didn't want it. I don't want you to say happy birthday.
Why? Tell me why. Is it the aging thing or the attention thing? Or you just
attention,
need to have...
It's something about this attention. I don't know.
Middle child?
Maybe. That's like, that could be it.
Like you want it, but you deny yourself it. Like it's kind of a complex.
I'd rather give the gift. I'd truly rather give a great gift than get a great gift. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, that attention. It's just very, very strange to me. It's always sent me into a little depression. Even during Christmas, actually, I would like cry. I would cry if I got the nicest gift that I really wanted. And I just bawl all Christmas morning.
The receiving.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Feel really guilty about those things. Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever done something?
Therapy.
I mean, have you been to therapy, sir?
Have you ever done...
No, but have you ever done something? Because last year, look, I get it. I'm an under-the-radar birthday person as well. Mm-hmm. But I discovered when I was living in Vancouver, like, by myself, because Stafford was working in a bunch of different provinces, I needed to be really conscious about my birthday because... I didn't want to not acknowledge it, and I didn't want it to be lonely. So I actually planned one-on-one dates with people who I wanted to get to know better. And it wasn't kind of under the guise of my birthday, but it was ended up being really great because I realized I'm the perfect amount for me for social things is three people.
The three people in total?
Three people in total is a good vibe for me.
So you're kind of like the Charlotte booking dates with married couples saying...
Exactly.
I like three people. What can you do for me?
I'm good with five. I'm good with a group of five. I like an odd number because then sometimes I can float, you know, other people are talking. Right.
You know what? It's really, odd number is great.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that, I found that really, that was a good birthday
hack. I think that's really nice. And that those people that you're getting to know don't even really need to know it's your birthday. You're just kind of connecting.
Yeah, it was finding like one-on-one stuff. To connect. And like treats. So anyways, I will do that. Let's do that. I'll take you for a little low impact treat.
I think that's nice.
Okay. And you can give me a gift in appreciation.
I will. I even have like this candle clock. Have you ever seen my candle stash?
Yeah.
I can just reach in there and be like, someone's coming over. I gotta get a candle. Look what I just bought for you.
There's a hilarious, I think it's an SNL skit about these women just like giving the same candle to each other.
It's a candle that gets passed, but from, you know, about 20 people. I love that one. Yeah.
But yours is actually a beautiful, it's like a Jo Malone. Mine are actually
candles that you would want. And let me give everyone a tip. Zara candles.
Really?
Zara Home, Zara candles are fabulous.
Okay. That's a good tip.
Fabulous. IKEA, not so much. Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
No.
Well.
Well, have a great week.
This episode wasn't that great, so we're going to call it quits. No, I'm kidding. Actually, there were things that I really liked about this episode, but then there were things that are really problematic about this episode.
I found it so off-putting. It was hard for me to get on board. And so I did some Googling because I was like, did other people find this episode really? Do you know why? It felt so dated to me in the fixation on women's sexuality as being shameful.
Yes.
And that they're sluts, but somehow men aren't. Like all these jokes about like, well, men can sleep with whoever they want, but we're the sluts. And it just bothered me because I'm like...
I'm trying to put my... self back then, and you remember there was like a lot of, I mean, now we're better. We really don't, even if people are thinking about slut shaming, they don't say it out loud. It's really bad to say it out loud.
I think that some generations probably still do think that way. Like I ran into this older woman at Tim Hortons and my hair was really long. I was with my kids and my hair was really long and she just got her hair cut and I was chatting with her because my kids were cute and funny, right? So she was like chatting with little baby, cute babies.
Yes.
And talking about getting her hair done. And she said something like, oh, these girls these days, they just let their hair grow straight. They don't do anything with it. And it looks so slutty. It's like they're just asking for it.
A stranger said this to you?
She said, they're just asking for it. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, yo, like my hair? And she was like, oh, no, not like your hair. You're a mom. And I'm like, no, like literally like my hair. But I just had to leave because I was like, I'm not going to educate this woman about how a young girl's hair is an invitation for someone to rape them.
Wow. Well, okay. Now, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that was kind of the general discourse, like conversation.
Yeah.
and
the internalized shame and judgment and slut shaming.
Well, slut shaming kind of got into really mainstream at one point. Like when, you know what I mean? Like even like I'm thinking back to Golden Girls. Do you remember how on Golden Girls they're always like slut, like they use it a lot and it's funny, you know, and then it kind of got funny, like being slutty and everything was kind of a punchline. And I, in a way, I think the best part of this episode, oh, by the way, everyone, we're talking about season 3, episode 6, Are We Sluts?
Sluts.
I just, the word. And the best part of this episode is that I think they were tackling a big issue. Right? Like they were.
Do you think?
I think they were like, let's give the people what they want. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about women and sex and intercourse and all those big things and like tie it into like this thing about, you know, the number and slut shaming and what makes a slut and what is, you know, they were trying to be a little more political, I think. That was the best part, is that they tried. And the worst part is that they failed.
I mean, I think they were just, I also think they're addressing the elephant in the room, that these are 30-something women, single women in New York. Like, what does it mean to be single, living in one of the biggest cities in the world, dating?
So let's dive into kind of some of the plot lines here.
Okay, let me give you the synopsis. So Carrie can't understand why Aiden doesn't want to sleep with her, and then feels jaded when she finds out that Aiden doesn't go for sex for the old-fashioned reason he is still romantic. Mm-hmm. She wonders if modern Manhattan girls like her are just sluts. Yep. And is he serious, or as Samantha suggests, becoming just a friend? Charlotte has a great lover, a gentleman, with one flaw. Without knowing it, he calls her a bitch and a whore during sex. Oh. It's actually pretty violent and awful.
Oh, it's so upsetting.
When she tells the poor boy, he's as horrified as
poor
she.
Poor boy that you don't know you have.
Exactly.
Absolutely violent tendencies during sex.
Miranda, like a psycho, like a serial killer.
A serial killer. Like he didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Miranda's... He actually... Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yeah. No, I mean, like, he has an actual psychotic break during sex.
Yeah. Miranda discovers that she has chlamydia. So she calls her 42 former partners, and Steve suffers an intimate test despite being monogamous.
Yeah.
Yes. So too bad Steve. He gets a swab up his dick.
Could
Miranda
you
has
imagine,
to call 42
Steve,
people.
I'm sorry. Steve is the worst in this episode. Not only does he not have a, he doesn't have a family doctor. He has to go to the free clinic. He has no insurance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Steve. And then in bed, he's reading how to start an aquarium, how to build an aquarium book at night.
He's a simple man.
He is a simple man.
And then the last part of the storyline is one of Samantha's countless dates accidentally followed a violent robber into her posh building. No, the violent robber follows her date. This is backwards. As soon as the other tenants find out, she feels shunned. I mean, it is pretty horrible. Like one
you know
of
what?
Like, the grandmas is like, I can't see out of my left eye.
She, you know, like I think they missed the thing. They're like, hey, Samantha, you have to be more careful instead of being, you're a slut, right? Like. That was the better conversation, but she is so unself-aware that she didn't go and say like, yeah, that was actually me. And for now I'm going to go down and, you know, let my guests in myself.
Yeah. Like I'm going to stay in this building, but if I'm going to buzz in someone at 3 a.m,
I'm just being more careful.
Exactly.
And a conversation. Instead, she moves out.
But no, she like flees in panic.
She flees in the middle of the night in a fur coat. Like, yeah. So, love this building. Oh, I want to be with these ladies. I would have been the best friend.
Me too. I want to be best friends with them.
All of them. I would have been having dinner with all of them every night. Instead of having a different partner every night, I would have been in a different fabulous co-op apartment.
I know. Grandma's house.
Grandma's house. Like fancy rich. Oh,
totally
I love
agree.
Them.
Totally agree. I had that same thought. I was like, not only would Samantha, I protect these grandmas with my life, they would be my best friends.
Yes, I would die for that lady who lost an eye.
I hope she actually didn't lose her eye.
Something happened.
It's
Something bad happened to her.
I can't see out of my left eye. So I did some Googling to be like, did other people like this episode? And in Slate, Aisha Harris wrote an article about it. How that this is actually a good gateway episode. I don't agree. Yeah. I think the content is not great. I think there's better. Not
this episode that's the gateway. It's actually the next episode that's a big gateway.
I agree. So I think the next one's a better one. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So this one does say that it is a gateway because it has, it's like shows that it kind of nails the theme that we love, that it's like, at the same time, it's like silly, melodramatic, poignant, funny, at the same time.
I think those elements are here, but it was fumbled a bit by some of the content, obviously, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just in the scope of today, I'm like, I couldn't get on board with it. And it's bottom third. It's 65th. Vulture agrees. They're like, it's okay.
It's middling.
It's middling, yeah. It's middling. It's low middling.
Low middling.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go through kind of like everyone's subplots first? I always like when we do this. So we get everyone out of the way and then we zero in on Carrie.
Yeah.
Is that good for you?
So Carrie opens by saying that like there's three things that a woman will wait for in New York, a rent controlled apartment, the chocolate souffle at La Bernadette. Is that right? And the Manolo Blahnik sale.
You know, I was thinking the La Bernardin. Yeah.
La Bernardin. Yeah.
I want all of those things.
Yeah, I was
I want a rent-controlled apartment. Everyone wants that. In Calgary, in Alberta, you can't get that because there is nothing such as rent control.
Yeah.
As everyone is seeing these days, inflation, thank you very much. I want a chocolate souffle, like stat, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I want... Okay, I'm just going to say something. Meredith?
Yeah.
Are the sales really bad nowadays?
So this is what I read because I was curious before Christmas to be like, what is happening?
Why can't I get a 50% off these days?
Yeah. So apparently those big sticker sales, what's happening is that retail, the changes is that people want lower prices now. So there's actually adjustments on shelves earlier. So like pre-Christmas, people weren't buying full price. So if you like, if you did a mall trip, you probably noticed that everything is they're just doing gradual decreases constantly.
No matter what, constantly. And then there's no dramatic Boxing Day sale or whatever. There still was,
but at that point they'd already, like nothing was being sold at full price before Christmas because shoppers are only looking for deals. And so everyone's like, okay, well, we can't sell this. So it's immediately 30% off, you know, immediately, whatever.
Right. Yeah. It throws me for a loop. I remember the days of going to New York to Century 21 and it was a real deal fest.
Oh, deals in America, sometimes it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous how cheap you can get stuff. And I know so that we're probably talking about fast fashion, slave labor, so.
No, back then it wasn't. Okay, anyway, it wasn't. It didn't feel like that. It felt like the actual good stuff marked down, not just bad stuff marked down instantly as a as like a deception practice. Like, okay, should we just start in with Charlotte's little plot line? We alluded to it, that she had a psycho in bed, sleeping with the enemy.
So Charlotte's plot line, I don't know if you can say much more than one sentence.
That's it. It's easy.
She's dating a guy who, when he comes, goes, "You fucking bitch, you fucking whore."
Yeah, and at dinner, he's as sweet as pie. And then in bed, he could potentially kill her one of these nights. Let's just be honest here. So good thing that they broke that off.
Yeah. So I think it ends with him trying to hold it in and she's like, "Go ahead." And then he says, "You fucking bitch, you fucking whore," when he comes. And then the punchline is that they break up and he goes to therapy.
Yeah.
That's it.
But one of the funny parts that I thought of about him, was he an investment bank or a hedge? You know, there's always like for Charlotte, a hedge fund manager or investment banker, but he's like, "You know, I'm really thinking of teaching ESL to make some extra cash."
I know.
interesting point. Okay, then we have Samantha, obviously, that we've delved into. But you know what I was thinking all along with this sexual prowess of Samantha? She's even giving like Was that the doorman she was giving a hand job to in the like anyone?
No, it was like, yeah, that's a funny scene. There's a scene of Samantha in the elevator with all these different men. It's pretty funny.
It's funny, but I was thinking, who has, I applaud her for this energy.
Yes, I know.
Who has the energy to even film those scenes, let alone live that life?
I know. How does she have time for her job?
She doesn't do a good job of her job. We all know that, right? Like, she's bad at PR.
Yeah. She must get STD tests all the time.
Well, remember, no, she doesn't, because there's an episode that's coming up that's really great where she gets an HIV test and passes out.
Oh, I remember that.
Right? Yeah. Like, she doesn't. She actually ignores that. Like, she definitely has chlamydia.
That's what I'm going to say. If anyone has chlamydia.
Yeah, but maybe they wanted to turn that on their head a little, because it's pretty obvious Samantha has it, right?
So I feel from sex ed, the type of sex ed we get in Canada, it's like pretty thorough, actually. It's not abstinence-based. We actually learn about...
Oh, yeah. No, they were like...
Everything,
right? I remember our sex ed teacher, he was our gym teacher, and he was like, hey, if you're having sex with a girl in the hot tub, you know, don't... heat will kill some sperm, but don't rely on that, and...
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, they would. That was like a big tagline, the hot tub. You can get pregnant from a hot tub.
But no, but no, I think, no. That heat kills your sperm, right? If you're like, say you have a laptop on your on your balls, like that will kill the sperm. Or a sperm dies faster in hot situations. And he's
cook it.
Yeah. So he's like, don't just think that being in a hot tub when you're having sex will kill that sperm enough. You have to still use protection.
Oh, exactly. That's why. Because we were told you could get pregnant from a hot tub.
No, but back then it was like just sitting in a hot tub with someone, the sperm would travel through the water and into
your
vagina.
I know. And you'd get pregnant. I know. We were told that.
No, but he was like, when you're literally having sex with that person, not just sitting there with them. Remember there was also that urban myth of like someone who got... Like someone jerked off into a letter, sent it to a woman in America, like she, right?
And then she rubbed it on her
and
vagina.
She rubbed it, like it just traveled down her leg, and like, yeah, and she was reading it. And
see, anyway. So that's exactly my point, that even though it was pretty thorough what we learned in sex ed, it was still terrifying. And I was constantly terrified to get either A, pregnant from a hot tub, or B, get an STD. And then, like, I think back, like, I met Safford pretty young, so I didn't have a time to explore as much as I wanted to, let's say.
Imagine being gay in the 90s. and the fear of HIV was truly bad.
Terrifying.
That was the big numbers in the early 90s. And like some of this too, we have to I think we should remember that in like 99, 2000, we're still deep in the AIDS crisis in America. And some of these conversations were so risque. Like we just don't have the same type of conversations, especially with like PrEP and stuff like that. So all to say, yes, we were all terrified. So to chlamydia...
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like death sentence.
Death sentence. Also quite embarrassing for Miranda. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then we have Samantha at the very end. She like, you know, flees the co-op and moves into the infamous
meatpacking district. There's her apartment.
That's the apartment that Samantha belongs in.
Yes.
And so, yes. Oh, anyway, so that's the, I was very happy to see that.
Me too. I was like, there, finally,
there,
she's in her apartment.
She can be free. That's where she belongs. Although she did call the transgender people in front of her building whores. I think they were prostitutes. So that at that time, you would say interchangeably, sex worker, whore, prostitute. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a little derogatory.
Did she say, no, but she says, hey, girls. Doesn't she say, hey?
Yeah, but
she says, hey, whores.
She goes, and then I traded in that for some good old fashioned whores.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So. So there you go, you know. And then Miranda.
Oh, and then Miranda's storyline is probably the most
interesting
and poignant. Like,
yes.
Like what happens with Steve in season 3 is interesting. Drama Queens, the next episode, is also...
It's the best. I actually like it. I'm revising my opinion on Drama Queen, the next episode, pretty good.
Comparatively, it's so much better.
Quite great. Yes.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so she finds out she has chlamydia. She calls quite a few people until she calls this one guy who's like, "Yeah, I have chlamydia." And she's like, "You think you maybe gave it to me?"
He's like, "Yeah, but you didn't, like, you told me not to call."
Exactly.
Handles it with aplomb. And I think that maybe the reason why, you know, Miranda gets these storylines is that she can just handle it. Like, she has, like, a specific type of tragic humor about her.
Yes. That it's very vulnerable. It's humiliation so based.
It's just so humiliating.
I know.
Everything she goes through.
It's so humiliating. I know. And then Steve is like a functioning, like a toddler in a man's body.
He is barely keeping it.
He's never heard of chlamydia.
He doesn't have a family. He's scared of doctors. He's know what I mean? Like, doctors. That is something I find is an arrested development problem.
It's a huge red
Get
flag.
Get the fuck over it.
Yeah. I agree. So he gets a swab up his dick. And then...
Which I've had before. It's not that bad. I'm just
That's
saying.
An image that will never leave my mind.
Yeah. Happens.
So, and then I also, this was a weird thing for me. I was very mesmerized by the scene because I found it so odd. There's a scene where Miranda and Steve get ready for bed, but all they do is take off their clothes from the day, like their clothes that they would have worn at work, and get into bed in their underwear that they wore all day. And like they didn't brush their teeth or wash their face. It's so weird to me.
A lot of the bedwear was weird to me too, actually, in this episode.
Like Miranda has a slip that she wears underneath her suit all day that she gets into bed in. Like, she doesn't... That just seems so weird to me.
You know what? They're dirty people. I think they're actually very messy and dirty. Thank God she has Magda. I don't think any of them have a knack for housekeeping.
No, and I fixated on it because I was like, why would you get into your sheets clothes that you wore all day?
Do you remember when Miranda also bought new bedding and put it instantly onto her bed and started sleeping in it?
And didn't wash it? I know.
Like, this sets the tone for everything in my mind.
Yeah, it really alarmed me. And I was wow.
I kind of like a pink bed, though.
Oh, it looks cozy.
When I was
cozy.
Looking at it, I was like, how pink? Pink is very flattering for sheets because it makes your pink and coral, like it makes you look like you're glowing. So there's a tip.
There's a hot tip.
Right?
Do they not brush their teeth or do they brush their teeth before and then take all their... Anyways, I was so...
Good
I just,
question.
It alarmed me.
You know what also alarmed me, actually, as a footnote, when Carrie flushed down... I didn't talk about this. When she flushed down those cigarettes in the last episode, down her own toilet, New York plumbing.
Yeah, Fatberg.
Can't take that.
No, it can't. It was an irresponsible.
I think she's reckless.
Yeah, you are reckless. Ew. I think that was before probably some of the Fatberg crisis. Sorry, that's Beans. There's a beanbag chair in here and she just wants to get comfy.
Okay, Beans in the beanbag chair.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carrie. Yeah.
So Carrie and Aiden. Carrie wears some weird outfits in this. It's in the opening scene, she's wearing, what is she wearing? A skirt that is like a slit up the side?
I liked the beaded skirt.
Me too, but it's fully slit up her side. Like, it doesn't close.
And when he like kisses her and like goes up her, like it's basically like a figure skating skirt.
Exactly, that's what it looks like. Yeah. Movement. Does she have a thong on underneath? That's something else I was fixated on.
Bodysuit? No, because that blouse, which was very bad for the skirt, that ruffly kind of neckline collar blouse, hung over the skirt. I just don't think it was a good outfit either.
There was weird looks in this episode. Like the park walk she does with Miranda, she's wearing a super weird outfit. It doesn't look... It's odd.
I don't know. There's something going on in this episode that nothing was really standing out to me.
No, except for Samantha's all pink color blocking outfit that she wears.
Actually, Samantha was a star, and also her athleisure wear when she was like jogging and she picked up another jogger and was kissing him in the elevator. That was kind of cool. But Aiden's kind of like withholding, right? Like, she's worried that the relationship window is closing because like they keep having like kind of great makeout sessions, but to her, if you haven't had sex, you know, in the third, fourth date, There's a red flag, right? Like, she's used to it. Like, she's used to sex on the second date. And this isn't happening with Aiden.
I think at one point she's worried, it's been a week and a half, and she's worried they haven't had sex.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, but that's the crux of this. And she's like, well, does that mean I'm kind of slutty?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Aiden highlights and reflects a lot of her own major issues. Like, she's her own red flag.
She is her own red flag.
Yeah. And then Aiden says it's because he's been in a lot of relationships and he's still single. It's actually pretty sweet. And he thinks that she's someone he can care about. The next person he has sex with, he wants it to be someone he cares about. That's sweet.
Yeah, I think that's sweet. I think the logic was slightly flawed because he's like, based on those old romances, I'm basing our new romance on those. So even if I feel like I want to have sex with you, I'm holding out because those old romances didn't go anywhere. And he's kind of maybe like equating sleeping with someone too fast in a relationship with all the other bad things that could have happened in that relationship.
Fair. It might not be logical. But then
it might not be logical, but it's sweet to say, I want to be romantic. I want us to love each other a bit, you know, or have stronger feelings.
Like, the intention is good.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And then the funny thing that's so funny is when he comes over. Carrie calls, who does she call? Miranda? She calls
Shart?
She called, I can't remember who she calls.
Yeah, it's Miranda. She
calls someone complaining that Aiden's having a dump in her bathroom for the last 30 minutes. She's been in there
for half an hour. And but you know, that wasn't even the funny part. The funny part is that she goes into that bathroom. He's like, ready.
Yeah.
Like, so proud of himself. He's lit 4 candles.
Yeah. And drawn a bath. And it was 30 minutes.
There's like a few candles lit.
Oh my God.
And then he's so also funny. Like, I'm sorry, but if someone was like, hey, come on in here, and there was a room full of candles, it would drain my energy instantly. My reaction would have to be high energy and that I think it's so romantic. And inside I'm dying
because I'm like, cringing. This is so lame.
I'm cringing in such a way that it would be hard for me to continue.
Like, immediate turnoff. You're just like, so you lit some candles. Did you also have a dump? Because you've been in here a long time.
Yeah. And if I see rose petals strewn, you know what I mean? Like, it's just that kind of grand gesture that I think is so cringy.
Yep. I 100% agree. I am not sentimental. No. I'm not. And like, Stafford wants to be romantic. And I'm just like, I also find it. I'm like, do you know what's romantic for me? If you change the light bulb that's been burned out for a year.
It's romance based on Meg Ryan movies. No, yes. We don't need that. No, like, let's create our own romantic situations that actually really turn me on.
Yeah.
Like, what's my real love language here? It's not you like turning to me with a red rose in your mouth or something in your teeth. Like, no, I don't want this. This is 100%. This is really cringy.
It's like, babe, I took out, I rinsed out that peanut butter jar and I put it in the recycling. I'd be like, ooh.
That peanut butter jar is crystal clean and it will not attract one ant.
Yeah. It can go right into the recycling.
For me, it's like Matt, if he came to me right now and said, hey, I hung those pictures we've been wanting to hang for the past year. And I'd be like naked. I'd be naked. I'd drop my robe and walk slowly to him.
Oh my God. We're just simple people.
So we are simpletons. Simple
people. Or do you know what? If we were almost out of, if we were almost out of bubbly, like watermelon bubbly, and Stafford left the last one, instead of just drinking it and leaving.
It's in the fridge. It's not left out. Like,
he puts it in the fridge for me and he says, last one, saved it for you. And he didn't just leave me the empty box in the cupboard.
Or if I've run out of windshield wiper fluid.
Easy blowjob.
Easy BJ.
windshield wiper fluid. And he tops it up for you.
or he's like, you know what? I bought two when I was out.
Oh my God. There's a 2-for-1, so I picked one up for you. And I also got you some gum.
And I remembered you like the green Excel. Oh.
Anyways.
Okay, so that's us in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's then, just me.
But you know what? His intention was to be like, actually, I just poured you a bath. Bye.
And at 30 minutes, that bath is going to be cold. I don't know.
There's nothing right about that. More interested in the products. She had a MAC body wash. Now that's interesting.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
And she had Alterna shampoo.
Ooh.
That's interesting because that's one of those trade secrets. That's one of those brands that you can buy at those big outlets.
Oh, yeah.
I want to look into this because her hair was fabulous in this episode, if you hadn't noticed.
Season 3, it's looking really great. I think they're doing something with their curls. I think they're probably doing small barrel curls.
Exactly. They're not crunch.
Yeah, brushing them out.
Yeah, they're not crunching. And then she's like, what about you?
Do you want to get in here with me? I was also suspicious that this bathtub didn't look very clean to me. I think the tile, because it's a beige
Nothing in this bathroom is clean.
No, I would not get in that bath. No. It's a skin cell soup. Aiden gets in there with her and then he leaves. Right? They don't have sex that night, do they?
No, but I also wonder, in the same way that you said that Miranda and Steve just seem to get into bed without taking care of themselves, not brushing their teeth or washing their face.
Yeah.
Maybe Aiden is subtly saying to Carrie, if I'm to have sex with you, you are going to have to be freshly bathed because they're always just coming home from a night in Manhattan.
You're right. Like sewage just like juice.
Pick up day in New York. You're not too fresh.
Fair. Yeah. You'd have a scent. You would.
You would have a scent. And she's kind of into it, right? Like, so she kind of flips and she's like, this is kind of great.
And she doesn't hate it.
Well, do they end up having sex? Why didn't I write this down? Oh, yeah, they sleep together and she feels kind of like re-virginized.
Yeah, I mean, because I totally lost interest, to be honest.
I lost interest a little bit. But that patchwork, when did she wear the patchwork jacket?
In this episode?
It was kind of like a coat of many colors, like Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat.
I love that musical.
I do too, actually. I close my eyes. No.
Draw back the curtains.
I love Donny Osmond. Okay, that's a confession. When I was young, I was into Donny Osmond.
The dawn was breaking. Whoa. Yeah, it's a great song. I don't remember the patchwork quote from this episode, anyway.
Is there anything else? Like, I think we're good. I think we did it more than we thought we would. So,
yep. We came, we chatted.
Exactly. Right. And, you fucking, you fucking horror.
And on that note,
It is that I might cut out because no one needs to hear that.
Orgasm. But do you know what we're going to keep in is all those hot tips that we left for our respective partners about sexy time recycling.
I know. And like
beverage.
What we find romantic.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a good question I might pose on our Spotify.
Yeah.
I might ask what kinds of things are your love language. I want to know.
Yeah.
Not bubble bath.
Not bubble bath in a grungy bachelor apartment in New York.
That's never been washed because you only take showers in there.
Exactly. Right? Never been scrubbed. Have you commented that tub? Probably not.
That's just feet.
That's feet juice. Okay.
Feet juice. Okay. Well, everyone, that was really fun, actually. We took lemons and made lemonade.
Right? That would be another after service. Honey, I made you some lemonade.
That's actually, right? But that's another thing I noticed, and that's why I think these ladies were psycho this episode. They were at brunch, and none of them had a coffee. They were all drinking lemonade.
Orange juice.
They were all drinking like iced tea.
Yeah, no. Okay. Bad choice.
You're dead to me. Okay.
You're dead. Bye. Bye,
everyone.